Good morning. Now we're on Problem Corner, and we have a special guest calling in today. We're going to be talking to immediate past Attorney General Treg Taylor. There's a little bit of a buzz. Are you guys hearing the buzz? Excellent. I've got everybody in here helping with the buttons. And we have a special guest this morning who called in on Wednesday wanting to come on Problem Corner. So we have immediate past Attorney General Treg Taylor, who is now candidate for governor, wanting to call in and address our audience on Problem Corner. So we have the buttons set up. We'll be able to take calls. And we're just waiting for Treg Taylor to call in. It's a beautiful Friday morning. The weather is getting colder out there. I notice we're getting a little bit less light every morning. It's harder to get my chores done in the morning before I get in here. How about you guys? Yeah, a couple of nods here. It took us a while to get the button set up. When you've got a volunteer radio host, that's what happens. And the folks down here at KFAR and the whole radio station, you guys have 8 different stations down here? Is that how many are?
Yeah.
8 radio stations? This is pretty cool. I get to interview the radio guys.
I know.
You guys are usually on this side, knowing what all the buttons do.
All right. Oh, there I am. I know what. We come rushing in here. But yeah, you got the 2 big head honchos on today with you.
And I'm learning new tricks with the buttons. So as soon as we get to
we're doing a crash course, like a 1-minute crash course right before on air.
And, oh, yeah. We were scrambling there, wasn't it? That's fun. I love live radio.
But I learned 3 new things with the buttons today. But I take these pictures with my cell phone, right? And then somebody else comes in, and then the buttons and the lights are different. And, Randy Griffin's always really good about calling and telling me when we were too soft. He makes sure that I know when the news was too soft, so I gotta make sure that button's up.
We have 1,000 engineers listening, and that hey, somebody didn't push a button, somebody didn't. But I think it's one of the beauties of local radio when you have so many people that love to come in and host and fill in. It's pretty cool. So,
well, it's organic, that's for sure, which means
exactly. I mean, just having so many locals come in and be able to sit behind this mic and do what you do, it's a lot of people couldn't do this, and you're doing fantastic.
I'm just great that you guys keep the Problem Corner running. I first got introduced to Problem Corner in 2002 when I came up for one of the house races with Bud Fate years and years ago, and everybody said, you got to listen to Problem Corner. And, back then, we didn't have the social media with the Facebook and stuff. That's how you heard about everything, right? That's how you heard there was a bear loose or, there's construction somewhere, and now people go to Facebook for that. We're doing more of these interviews and really liking, the interviews with Joni Skillbred and finding out some about our Fairbanks history. The segment on ICE was much more fascinating than I thought it would be.
Yes. Yes. So, and I'm pretty amazed at what you're doing, because you're sitting there and you were on the air, you were talking, and you're scrolling. I don't know if you were scrolling for instructions or you were scrolling like, hey, we're going to talk about this today, but you were multitasking perfectly.
Well, I don't know how perfect that is. I was texting our guests to say we're ready for you.
Oh, okay. That's what
they called in on Wednesday and talked to Melissa and said, Treg really wants to get it. We've got, 11 people running for governor so far now.
Wow.
So we've got homeboy.
Well, tell them you better call pretty quick or I'm throwing my hat in for 12. Because we got live radio here. He's got to be on it.
Glenner for governor.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, you got a family that's been around these things long enough that you know you don't want to.
Yeah. It goes back to my grandpa in the state senate in the 60s, and my sisters and nephews worked there, my brother-in-law, of course. Yeah, I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, you, me, and Campo, people say, when are you going to run? I say, never. Never.
All right, so we are still waiting on your guest.
We are.
Hold on, we might have him now.
Okay, and I'm going to double press this to lock him in. Good morning, you're on Problem Corner.
Press it again.
Good morning, this is Treg Taylor. I was told that this is the number I need to call.
Good morning, and we're so happy to have you, and we have you locked in. I am, a public member volunteering in here, and we've got both of the heads here running the buttons, so we've got you locked in so that we should be able to take questions. And thank you so much for reaching out to the radio station.
Yeah, you guys are on the air, so you're rolling. Enjoy.
We are rolling. Uh-oh, they're going to leave me here alone to press the buttons. At least I know that we've got you locked so I can't drop you. So we have immediate past Attorney General Treg Taylor on the air today for Problem Corner. We'll be talking about his race for governor, which was much predicted and now is official. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be on.
I'm just glad that you reached out. You know, we have a pretty broad field for governor right now, but I think you are the only one who has called down and said, I really want to go on the air, really want to talk to the Problem Corner listeners.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I think that'll be the objective, right, to get to as many people as possible and let them know what our vision is for Alaska, what my vision is for Alaska, and I think also inform them of what I did as the Attorney General, which I think people don't quite know about yet.
And it's a pretty long list, and the listenership here at Problem Corner on this particular station at this particular hour, you've got a lot of people who have followed your statehood defense, your land access, asserting states' rights, and we do have three junctures where we'll have to take commercial breaks, Treg. So at the 15, we will do that. Let's give you a couple minutes just to do an intro before we go to our first break. So tell us why it was important to you to file to run for governor and why you're doing this now.
You know, I really appreciate that. Thank you. I think it really comes from love of Alaska. You know, when Jody and I decided to make Alaska our home and raise our six kids here, it became really important for us to be part of the community, to serve the community, and we've been involved in community service since we came up after law school. And my wife is born and raised here, so I like to tell people my kids are fourth-generation Alaskans, omitting the fact that I'm a transplant. But I fell in love with the state. We came up when we were trying to put ourselves through undergrad and then law school. I came up quite often in the summers to work in Alaska and fell in love with it. And, you know, as Attorney General, I had an awesome opportunity to serve the state and serve the people of the state. But at that time, I became aware of some of the problems that we have in the state. You know, we have to have a reliable, cheap source of energy for the state. That's a big issue right now for us. We're going to, you know.
We certainly feel that here in the interior.
Oh, 100%, right? And so... That is a problem we can address. We're an energy rich state, right? And I think that's what we have the tools, we have the resources. Let's put it to work. And you know, the other things we've been heavily involved in is on the education side. Obviously, when the NEA sued to try to get rid of our correspondence school, which was, you know, 22,000 kids are enrolled in our correspondence school. Which is, I believe, about 20% of our student population. And so that was really about parental choice, about what parents thought was best for their children, being able to enroll their children in programs that were going to benefit their children. And as a father of six kids, I understand that each child's different, right? So our kids have all taken a different educational path. You know, we've got three children right now. We've got four children in the school system, right? That's still... one in elementary school in a public school, two in a middle school in the public school system, and then one utilizing the correspondence program, which is in the public school system, right? But understanding that she has different educational needs, and she actually just finished a CNA course, so she's a certified nursing assistant now and has just taken a job at 17. So she's, you know, each child's been different, and being able to have the resources necessary to get the kid the education that they need to succeed in life is where we're at. And, you know, we've got huge educational issues right now. We've got parts of the state, none of the state's performing particularly well, but we've got parts of the state that are reading at 3%. 3% of them are reading at grade level, which is unacceptable. And so that'll be a big area of focus as governor, is addressing those issues.
Well, we're so glad that you wanted to be with us for this hour. We're going to start our first break. We'll take one at each quarter, and we will be talking today with Treg Taylor, immediate past Attorney General for the state of Alaska, running for governor on what sounds like a family values, community values, service, energy, and accountability platform. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
No one needs to tell you when your sewer line or septic system is broken, it's a mountain of a problem. Move that mountain with Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Complete sewer and septic system installations, new builds, and repairs. The experience and the equipment to get your job done. On time, on budget. Call for your free quote. Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Move your mountain. Call Scott and Julie at 907-590-4977.
Real Alaskan heroes.
The Woodway salutes you, Mr. Alaska Dad.
Hello, Bob here.
Hey, Dad, the power's out. Can you come by with your extra generator? Then we can head over to the Woodway on College Road to get mine.
Your family and friends appreciate your willingness to help out, your preparedness, and knowing where to get answers.
Dad, I was thinking about what I should do to heat the new place.
Call the Woodway. They have options and the expertise to help you figure out a good solution.
Saluting heroes, the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
What's a dog doing in the hospital?
I'm Piper, a Companions Inc. Fairbanks volunteer therapy dog. My purpose is to provide affection, comfort, and support to people in hospitals, nursing homes, schools, and at public events, helping people reduce stress, anxiety, and increase sleep feelings. My human brings me to volunteer at Fairbanks Memorial Hospitals regularly, where as a Companions Inc. therapy dog, I share my unconditional love. If you want to donate or learn more about Companions Inc., go to CompanionsInc.org.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 60. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 43. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 55. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we're back on the air with Problem Corner. I am your guest host, Jennifer Juhas, and we are interviewing Treg Taylor, immediate past Attorney General for the state of Alaska, who is running for governor now. And Treg, you wanted to talk to us about statehood defense. Those of us who listen, we talk to the Laundry House Gang quite often. We have a number of outdoor shows that play on Problem Corner, and we've followed not only the lawsuits, but some of the things that you have done as Attorney General to assert our rights outside of litigation. Can you talk to us this segment about that?
Yeah, no, the statehood defense initiative was probably one of the proudest things that I've been a part of as the Attorney General. I think it was absolutely critical. I had the good fortune of being the Attorney General of the state during all 4 years of the Biden administration. And you know, while other people could just sort of react and groan about what Biden was doing to the state, I could actually act. And, you know, if you followed Senator Sullivan's list of the 70-plus executive actions that Biden took specifically to shut down Alaska, you know, those correspond with quite a few pieces of litigation. In fact, I think the number when I left the AG's office, we had over 90 pieces of federal litigation going on. And the emphasis here is, what were we promised at state? Who should decide the state's future? And who should control the state's resources? And obviously the answer to those two last questions is Alaskans should, right? We shouldn't have a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. saying what is best for Alaska. Alaskans, if anybody cares about the environment in Alaska, it's Alaskans, because we recreate here, we fish, we subsist here. In the North Slope, we whale. You know, those are the types of things that we're involved in, and so we care more about this the environment up here than anyone in D.C. does. And so the Statehood Defense Initiative was, we went back and got additional funds from the legislature to take on all of this.
And many of our listeners supported that. Many of our listeners testified in support of that.
Well, really appreciate that support, because it was absolutely vital. And so we met every week, DNR commissioner, the DEC commissioner, myself, Fish and Game commissioner, and we talked about what we were seeing out of Washington, D.C. And I think a key aspect of this that I think people don't realize is I was almost entirely able to focus internally on what was directly affecting Alaska because of my relationships with the attorneys general in the lower 48, right? All the Republican AGs that were down there fighting the big picture items that were coming across, like the COVID vaccine mandates. I could join with them and provide the Alaska specific information and all these litigation. That's how we were able to shut down the COVID shop mandate for all of any employer over 100 employees, or any employer that has any business contract, any contract whatsoever with the federal government, including subcontracts. We're going to be required to have all of their workforce vaccinated. You know, we were able to prevent that from happening on the Head Start program, same thing. And so those partnerships were really key to allowing me to free me up to fight what was specifically affecting Alaska, because obviously Alaska was under attack under the Biden administration. I'm so grateful that right now we have a president that is Alaska focused. I mean, it was really telling, you know, in his inaugural address, when he talked, the only state mentioned in his inaugural address was Alaska, right? The first day executive order basically is a wish list of everything Alaskans care about: ANWR, MPRA, submerged lands, navigable waters, the Alaska gas line, Ambler Road, you name it. One thing after another was listed in that first AEO, and we worked really hard on that EO. We actually participated in the drafting of that, and then obviously as the Attorney General, once that EO was issued, it worked very closely with Department of Interior, the Energy Secretary, Secretary Wright, and other agencies, EPA, for example, in trying to bring that EO to fulfillment, because it means economic opportunity for Alaskans. It means economic growth for Alaska. It means we're going to have a cheap, reliable source of energy, and that is key to any type of business growth, right? If you look at the places that business is booming, where the infrastructure is being built, and where we see things like data centers going in, it's the regs. Those are very important, to have regs that are business friendly and a statutory scheme that is going to be inviting to business. But the other key part of that is the cheap, reliable source of energy. And when we have that in Alaska, we'll be able to attract those kind of businesses. So I'm bullish on Alaska's future. I'm very excited to continue working with this president as the governor of Alaska, and I think our future is bright.
And you've worked with the other states, as you've also worked with partners in state, and, you know, the litigation, I always say, is shiny. People can look at, you know, the big lawsuits, but the Attorney General's office under your leadership put a lot of effort into the statehood defense that didn't always have to rely on litigation. It was comments before some of the regulatory boards on the federal level. It was asserting the Nav Waters team to be floating those rivers and asserting that those are ours before we had lawsuits.
No, that's exactly right. There was, you know, you hope to avoid a lawsuit, in all honesty. That's the last thing you want to happen. So you provide the comments during the public comment portion. You work with our counterparts where we find similarities or we can agree on concepts, and then you partner with them and you put the pressure on the decision makers in D.C. to make the right decisions. And when they make the wrong decisions, obviously we're ready to fight. We have to fight. It's our livelihood. It's our future. It's the ability of our kids to come back to the state and raise their families. And so, you know, when it came to entering the fight, we weren't afraid to do so. We had the resources, thanks to the legislature providing us those additional funds.
Well, and I just want to take the opportunity to thank you personally for your focus on those issues. As someone who's been involved in making the regulatory comments and paying attention to the ANILCA issues since the mid-90s, since my early 20s, we've had a series of different attorneys general up here, and I really got to know and like Greg Rankus in the end, but having to talk to him as someone who didn't have a law degree and have him say, well, I have a degree in Indian law, and I said, well, that's super for you, but we have this thing up here called ANILCA, so let's sit down and talk about that. You know, I appreciate your knowledge of that and your ability to partner with some of the other outdoor groups, not always just outdoor, because like you mentioned, healthcare and some other things, education. We have a caller if you are up for taking a phone call.
Sure, that'd be great.
You're on the air, and we are talking to Treg Taylor, immediate past Attorney General for the state of Alaska and candidate for governor. Do you have a question?
And right now in the legislature, there's the idea among some to propose a constitutional amendment that would change a little bit the Alaska Permanent Fund. What it would do is it would combine the two parts of the Permanent Fund, which is the principal or corpus, and the earnings reserve account. Right now, they're just limited to drawing from the earnings reserve account, but what the constitutional amendment would do is combine those two funds, which is the way most big giant legacy funds work. It's combined. And it would also limit the annual draw to just 5% of the percent of market value of the permanent fund. Now, I realize a governor doesn't really have much to do with that because it has to be the proposed amendment has to be passed by two-thirds of each house of the legislature, and if it passes that, then it goes to the people for a vote. But I was just wanting to ask you if you had any thoughts about such a constitutional amendment for the Alaska Permanent Fund.
Thank you, Randy.
No, thanks. That's a great question, and it's one that I'm really kind of looking at right now and trying to figure out what is the best for Alaska's future. I guess I'm suspicious of the change. I'm suspicious of the need for the change. But I also, having worked in-house counsel for an investment advisory business with $17 billion under assets, I understand that the way ours is structured is different than the other big funds out there. And so I'm curious to look in to see, I think on concept, again, I'm suspicious, but again, on concept, I think with the right guardrails and we can ensure that those guardrails are indeed in place, right, that the legislature couldn't work around those guardrails, it might make sense. But again, I haven't finalized the position on that, but it is definitely something I'm looking at and asking questions about, and I'm researching as far as what other legacy funds like the one at Harvard, the one in Norway. I mean, we've got other examples out there how they operate and how they keep those funds from being plundered. Because the number one goal, right, is to keep the corpus whole and not raid it to pay expenses, right?
Thank you.
Always appreciate it when Randy Griffin calls in. He always has very well thought questions. And just to let you know, Attorney General, what do we call you now? Candidate? I mean, which title should we be using? I don't want to just be too casual and say Treg, Mr. Taylor. But to let you know, in exactly 2 minutes, the radio station will break in with their scheduled break. So it might cut us off mid-sentence right at the 30.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And Treg is fine. There's nothing casual about that. We're all Alaskans. And I'm looking forward to getting to know everyday Alaskans. Obviously getting out has been one of the really cool things about the campaign so far. I've actually knocked a few doors and talked to some folks, really enlightening on what they care about, what's important to them.
What are you hearing as the top issues?
It's about economic opportunity, I think, first and foremost. It's about crime. Specifically, you're talking to people in Anchorage and some of the other areas that are struggling with crime. Obviously, I was very pleased that the recent crime statistics that came out were at 40-year lows for violent crime. Sex assault is down almost 25% since 2018. So we really put a focus on that. But people care about, they just want a safe place with economic opportunity to raise their families, and that's what we've got to provide, and that's what government should be in the business of. I think we try to do too much, and we don't do it very well.
Well, when we have a quick break here, when we come back, we will be talking with Treg Taylor, immediate past Attorney General of the state of Alaska, and we'll be talking about what's important to Alaskans as he goes door to door.
On KFAR 97.5 FM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The House voting to fund the government through November to avoid a government shutdown, but it didn't go through in the Senate. House Speaker Mike Johnson wants Democrats and Republicans to work together.
The ball is in Chuck Schumer's court. I hope he does the right thing. I hope he does not choose to shut the government down and inflict pain unnecessarily on the American people. I hope that they will vote on this clean short-term CR so that we can continue the work to get our appropriations done.
Speaking of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, some Democrats are calling for the FCC Chairman Brendan Carr to go after ABC indefinitely suspended late-night host Jimmy Kimmel's program this past weekend. Schumer says Carr and the president have declared war on free speech.
Mr. Carr is one of the greatest threats to free speech in American history. He must resign immediately, and if not, Trump should fire him.
ABC has not listed a reason for suspending the Jimmy Kimmel show. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports the Royal Canadian Navy is wrapping up a six-week operation with U.S. personnel. Since August, the Royal Canadian Navy, Alaskan Command, and U.S. Coast Guard have partnered together in an interoperability operation coined Operation Latitude. It's difficult to capture just how momentous this is and how important the partnership has been with Canada over this summer, Colonel Matthew Komatsu with the U.S. Air Force said. It's been just incredible to see the amount of connectivity, willingness to partnership, willingness to overcome challenges. It's just been the high point of my career for sure. The operation started on August 25th as both countries conducted a joint sail through the Bering Sea, sailing according to the Royal Canadian Navy through the Gulf of Alaska along the Aleutian Islands into the Bering Sea toward the Arctic Circle. While out on the water, His Majesty's Canadian ship Regina and the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Wasashi worked alongside each other doing interoperability drills. Operation Latitude is Canada's commitment to defending the North, said Captain Samuel Patchell with the Royal Canadian
Streaming
Navy.
Live online at KFAR660.com.
Feel that chill? You know it's not too early to change into your Bridgestone Blizzak studless snow tires at GCR. Get a grip on winter. You'll be ready for that snow and ice before they slip in for the winter. Skip the annoying changeover rush. Save time at the Tire Guys now. Bridgestone Blizzak studless snow tires are the most imitated snow tires on the road today. Find out why. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Good morning, Fairbanks. We are back on the air with Treg Taylor, our immediate past Attorney General, running for governor. And my question to you is, why governor? The Attorney General's office touches every corner of state government. You've been effective in many of the different policy pieces there. Why run for governor?
That's a great question. And you know, you're absolutely right. The Attorney General's position is the best kept secret in the state, and the ability to make a difference for everyday Alaskans is just really real, from a consumer protection aspect, from litigating to preserve our right to develop our resources, and protecting Alaska's Second Amendment, First Amendment rights by participating all over the nation in those types of cases. I mean, it's just a really rewarding position, and you know, the governor has a tough job. It is a demanding job and a thankless job in a lot of ways. And so, when I started to get questioned about, hey, would you consider running? And I started to think about it, my immediate answers were always no. You know, I'm loving what I'm doing. And then as I started looking around, I was like, who could I get really get behind? Who could I support fully and charge ahead with? And my answer is either I didn't agree policy positions with certain folks, or I didn't think that they were electable statewide. And, you know, and it's a really interesting field because I know everybody running in this field, and I'm good friends with a lot of them. But it just came down to, could we get it across the finish line with the right policies to work with the Trump administration for the next 2 years? We're going to have, once the new governor steps in, he's going to have 2 years left with this administration, which is pro-Alaska like we've never seen a president be in the history of our state. And so it's a really big opportunity, and I didn't want us to blow that opportunity. And so I made the decision to step up and to take it on.
So do you see it as an advantage of being so involved with the aspects of state government in order to, does this make it seamless rather than someone who's maybe been out for a couple of years? Is that what the game plan was?
Yeah, that was part of the thinking, right, is that I've been working with this administration on all of these issues from the very beginning of starting to draft that executive order, unleashing Alaska's extraordinary potential, right? And that's exactly what that EO is designed to do. And having that familiarity and familiarity with all the cases that affect that and our ability to do that and being involved in all of that litigation, yeah, it'll allow me to hit the ground running from day one as the governor of the state of Alaska. And those relationships I've developed with the Trump administration, those relationships I've been able to develop all over the United States with like-minded individuals, with resource-minded individuals, I think is a real bonus for the state. We can't afford to put somebody in the governor's spot that is either going to be anti this administration or not know how to work with this administration. And so I think I do bring that to the table. You know, obviously, as the attorney general, we were heavily engaged in the fight, man. We fought crime, we fought Biden, we fought for Alaska, and that's the same type of fight that I'm going to bring to the governor's office.
And so on Problem Corner, we get pretty real. We ask you really tough questions, and this isn't just a propaganda piece. So, you know, I'll ask, why not continue as attorney general or hope to continue as attorney general under a different governor? What was the catalyst that said, no, I need to run for governor rather than try to continue building on my work?
Yeah, no, and I think it's just a matter of we're at a crossroads, and I could either stand up and engage in that fight, or I could just take a back seat and I just, that was a key piece for me, by the way, as well. It's like, who's going to replace me as the attorney general? And one of the things when I was talking to my wife Jody about whether we should get into this race was, and I wanted to make sure I knew who that was and that I knew that they would take Alaska where Alaska needed to go as far as the responsibilities of Attorney General. And we have that in Attorney General Steve Cox. He is going to be amazing for this state. He's got a great skill set. He's got a little bit of different skill set than I do. He's got...
But he's up to speed on all of the work that's been going on because he's been the deputy.
Yeah, well, we brought him in, you know, because we knew we were going to make this transition, and working very closely with the governor's office, obviously, brought him in to make sure he was up to speed, because the last thing I wanted to do was to leave the attorney general's office hanging or at a standstill when we've got all these things that we need to be doing and getting done in a timely manner, obviously, with all that we've engaged in and the fights that we've taken on at the attorney general's office. So that was a big blessing when Steve was willing to come in and take that on, because I have full trust in Steve Cox as the attorney general.
Good to know. My next question is about the timing. You know, it's been much anticipated that you would do this, and, you know, people have been placing lunch bets with each other. You know, will it be October? Will it be April? Will we get a few other things done? Why the timing now? Did you think it was important to gear up and April or February would be too late? Things are in good hands. You don't have to worry. What was your thinking on the timing?
Well, timing one, and I just talked about one. The first issue was I wanted to make sure Steve was up and understood exactly what we're doing within the Attorney General's office, and give him time to get his feet wet before I left. And then the second aspect of it was, you know, I've been grateful to my peers, and the other attorneys general around the state, as I've led the Attorney General Alliance as its chair over this last year. And we'd been planning for over a year now a meeting here in Alaska where we brought up 15 to 16 attorneys general, and we had about 200 attendees from businesses from across the nation up to Girdwood, Alaska for a conference at the Alyeska Hotel. And so I felt like my obligations that I'd made to the Attorney General Alliance when I agreed to be the chair, that I should fulfill those responsibilities. And it was an amazing conference. It was focused on AI, how we deal with AI, how we implement it into our offices, but also how we are engaged in consumer protection for issues that are raised by AI, and the ethical obligations of the people that are you know, like the Microsofts of the world and all those that have those AI tools out there, and engaging with them on what they view their ethics to be and how it relates to government. And so trying to give us, the lead litigators, the chief law enforcement officers for our states, sort of an understanding of where they see that going and what they see the problems are. So that was the second part, is I wanted to make sure I fulfilled my obligations as chair of the Attorney General Alliance. And so after that meeting is when, you know, I stepped down as the Attorney General, and now we're engaged in this race, actively engaged.
So that alliance also sounds like a place, just one more platform for Alaska issues when our chair is from Alaska. Did you find most of the participants were from Western states, or did they have a lot of similar issues? And strangely enough, we have some weird fishing issues in common with Louisiana that people don't really think about.
Funny you mentioned Louisiana, because, you know, Governor Landry, then Attorney General Landry, we joined with him when they did the moratorium on offshore leasing under the Biden administration. And we won that when we joined with Louisiana, because, again, we have so much in common with some of these other states. And then, as you know, the lead law enforcement officer for a state, we have all those commonalities. And those commonalities, you know, Attorney General Alliance, for example, is a bipartisan organization. So we try to focus on areas where we're going to get buy-in from the Republicans as well as the Democrats. And that's why, you know, I chose as my chair's initiative was this AI issue, because it crosses party lines, and we have that commonality.
There's a lot of value in these. I don't mean to be irreverent, but I call a lot of these the after-school clubs, right? So it's the after-school club for the attorney generals. You know, a lot of our legislators participate in National Assembly of Sportsmen's Caucuses and Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation and all of these. And they're designed to be bipartisan so that people will come and you learn a lot from each other. It's not about giving up your values, but it's about educating each other on the facts.
No, it is 100%, and it's also about the relationships you build, you know, because, again, when I talked about the last thing I want to do is litigate something, because that's expensive for the state. It takes a long time to get to a solution and to an answer, and you have to appeal your decisions all the way up through the courts. So the last thing you want to do is litigate.
And we have to demonstrate that we've exhausted our administrative resources before our lawsuit can be valid. We've got one. Can we take one caller before the break?
Absolutely.
You're on Problem Corner. Do you have a question for Treg Taylor?
Well, I have a suspicion that the creation of the Department of Agriculture would be a giant ripoff, probably no good for the food or the people. Probably a bunch of six-figure salaries involved with very little control by the people who are affected. So thanks for your comments. Bye.
Okay, so that just sounded like a comment, and I'm not sure if they're wondering where you stand on that, what you would do. You're no longer employed by the state. I guess we'll see where the legislature takes this, but the second EO came out. Did you have any consult on that?
You know, obviously, as the one of the very interesting things about the state of Alaska is the Attorney General really wears three hats. One, we do all the prosecution in the state, right, with the exception of a few misdemeanors that Anchorage and Juneau do. That's very unusual. Two, you know, we're what you typically think an AG does, the consumer protection, the advice to the executive. And three, we're the general counsel for the governor, and that's where we really are distinct, because we're the only ones that the AG actually is the attorney for the governor. All the other offices have the governor as their own attorneys that he hires for in the executive office. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you see attorney generals, their actual lifespan up here is 18 months, right? And so I felt very fortunate. I felt very fortunate to be 4.5 years in and then have such a great relationship with this governor. You know, I'm honored that he trusted me. You know, obviously, there was a few scandals that occurred there before.
Prior to you.
Yeah, prior to me, and so I felt hugely grateful for his trust in me and allowing me to run that office for 4.5 years. And I think we did a lot of good.
I will put it on your radar that this particular listenership, as far as the, you know, who the Attorney General's office represents, it's been about 20 years of consistent dialogue with this particular listenership that at some point that there should be a separate attorney for the boards of fish and game, Board of Fish, Board of Game, than represent the department, and it ebbs and flows, it recycles, but this particular listenership, the folks that you've met with when you've come to Fairbanks have been stating that for a number of years, because there is a division of responsibility similar to the administration and the legislature.
Yeah, no, and that's when I tell the other attorneys general around the U.S. about what my responsibilities are, they're pretty blown away. The fact that none of our departments, none of our agencies, none of our boards, none of our commissions, with the exception of the railroad and the permanent fund, have their own attorneys. And so it does, I think it's I think by design, our Constitution wanted to make this governor the strongest governor in the United States. I think that, the territorial days had a bad taste in their mouth because of how diffuse the power structure was, and so nothing got done because you had to work with all these different parts of government to get things done.
And we fought for our equal footing, entered into the union on equal footing.
Equal footing with a very strong executive, yes.
So let's talk about those responsibilities after this break and how those responsibilities would increase should you win the governorship.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Backed by popular demand, the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center reintroduces Walk-In Wednesdays from 8 to 4. Bring in your hearing aids to have them cleaned and adjusted, even if you purchase them somewhere else. This will keep your aids running at their best, making sure you don't miss anything. And if you're struggling with hearing loss, you can come in and get a second opinion to see if there's something available to help you hear better. Walk-In Wednesdays from your friends at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Hey, it's Craig Campo inviting you to kick back with me by the campfire every Saturday for the Outdoor Show. We'll be talking about living the Alaskan outdoor dream with fascinating guests, even some favorite stories and memories from a lifetime spent on the trails and waterways, hunting, fishing, and camping across this great state. Join me, Craig Campo, for the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Campos since 1945. Listen in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. for the Outdoor Show right here on KFAR Radio.
I'm Patrick Roach, and I'm ready to serve on our Borough Assembly. I have loved Fairbanks since I first moved here 30 years ago to attend UAF. I have worked as a teacher and am now a public defender to those in need in our community. On Assembly, I will fund education for strong schools, protect the things that make our borough great, our trails, libraries, and recreational spaces, and I will fight for more affordable housing. Thank you for voting for Patrick Roach for Assembly.
Paid for by Patrick Roach for Assembly, P.O. Box 81745, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99708.
KFAR Weather.
Overcast skies today with daytime highs approaching 60. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 43. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 55. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We're back on Problem Corner with our guest, Treg Taylor, running for governor after serving as our attorney general. And these segments go fast. It's just a quick hour. But you did reach out and wanted to talk to our listeners. And you wanted to talk about the pipeline and what the pipeline means to the interior, meaning the interior here in Alaska. But also, as governor, you'll be relating differently, should you win, to the Department of Interior at the federal level. And so can you talk to us a little bit about permitting moving forward and what can be accomplished in probably, you know, the first 2 years of a governorship under the last 2 years of this federal administration?
Yes. Now, let's talk about that Alaska gas line first and foremost. You know, I was somewhat criticized for going around the state to talk about these things, but I think it's absolutely one of the most important developments in Alaska, and I'm so hopeful that, you know, when they make a final investment decision, when Glen Farne and its partners make that final investment decision this December, that it is a move-forward decision because it's exactly what Alaska needs. We need to get those stranded resources off the North Slope, the stranded gas, and be able to bring it to use for Alaskans as a cheap, reliable source of energy, but also with the export potential to the lower 48, and it's sort of the gem that is in that executive order that President Trump issued the first day of his office, and the jobs that means for Alaskans, right? That 800 and plus mile pipeline, 42-inch line coming down. Just the building of it, you know, we're looking at 5,000 people involved in the building of that. That'll be just an economic driver in and of itself, let alone the gas that it enables us to utilize both within the interior, along the rail belt, and then out to export.
We've had several guests on Problem Corner in the last few months talking about how we can best capture those opportunities for Alaskans. Only so many tradespeople initially will be able to come from Alaska because only so many are trained. We'll need to be beefing up our apprenticeship programs. And there will, of course, be people who need to come up initially and help train those Alaskans who can take those jobs. But we do have a mandate to hire Alaskans first, which we assume we'll be honoring. And we have another call. You want to take another quick question here?
Sure, that'd be great. Thanks.
You're on Problem Corner. Do you have a question for Treg Taylor?
Yes, I do. Hey, it's interesting you've thrown your hat in the ring. Boy, it's too bad we got the jungle primary. But anyway, so I have a question. First of all, where I live, I really resent having to pay taxes and people's, you know, and the big fancy building the Interior Gas Utility has. It used to be a huge building for restaurant warehouse stuff. But anyway, because in Two Rivers, we're never going to get gas. Putting all this money into the, you know, downtowns of North Pole and Fairbanks, but I'm never going to get it, and I resent it. But I have a bigger question. Well, I also want my full permanent fund dividend. I'm hoping you were on board with Governor Dunleavy all these years with that. You know, it is in statute, and I know the Supreme Court's dumb decision. But anyway, because it's hurting smaller people. If these people don't want their dividends, they can just tell the state to keep it or send it back like Randy does. But anyway, and I need the money. And because the state doesn't follow its laws, I know I'm owed a lot of money by state, federal, and court orders, a lot of money. And my house wouldn't be collapsing. I could go home. I can't go home right now. And so anyway, but this is my issue. All this talk about exporting the gas and, you know, the spur line. But what about the oil? Why can't we refine the oil from the slope and use it here and actually lower our icebergs, our gas prices, our fuel, our diesel?
So we used to have the refinery out in North Pole, and then we've got the things that are built down at Valdez.
The refinery out at North Pole isn't working full blast,
right?
We all know. And it was mostly making avgas,
right,
back in the day. And so, you know, why can't we build somehow a refinery so that we can use our own oil? And if you want to export excess, if there is any,
That's a good question. We only have a couple more minutes, so can you give us an answer to the possibility of thank you so much, caller, to the possibility of refining gas in Alaska?
No, I think that's a great question. I want to address, first of all, the ranked choice voting issue. We have got to get out and repeal that. I think it's resulted in lower confidence in people in our election system, and we've got to repeal that. I think that is priority number one. I'm going to be out there pushing it. I'm already actively raising money for that fight. The last fight we had over it, we were outspent $15 million to $150,000, and we still almost got it repealed. I think with a little bit of effort, we got the right people in charge. I think Bethany Markham is going to do an awesome job leading that charge to repeal ranked choice voting. But I think it's vital to us as Alaskans to get rid of that system. And I'll comment on the refinery. I think it's going to be a market dictated thing. You know, part of government's responsibility is to get out of the way of business, and so it's going to be a market, you know, a decision on whether or not a refinery is viable up here, whether or not a refinery with the amount of people that would be utilizing the gas from that is able to justify their investment. I think under this administration, this is the right administration to start that process, right? Because they're going to be supportive of that. Refineries have been sort of out of vogue in the United States for many, many years, and have very few have come online. But it would be I would absolutely applaud efforts and support, you know, however government should support a program like that. And so that's kind of what government needs to do. Get out of the way, let the private sector do what it does best, and that is build growth, build jobs, reduce costs.
And as you know, the cost of heating anything here in the interior, you know, whether it's a small cabin and we have the wood stove wars, you know, that is going to be a huge economic driver, simply lowering the cost of energy. We only have a few more minutes, and I want to be able to give you those minutes to say something concise about your platform, where to direct people if they want to know more and be involved. We know we've got a pretty crowded field. We know other folks will be coming on, but there will be a link to this broadcast that you can point people to. So how would you summarize the values you're running on and what your platform is and how people can learn more?
No, I really appreciate it. You know, I think I'm the only candidate that has a proven record of fighting on behalf of Alaska. You can look at the last 4.5 years of what I've done as the Attorney General. I think people will be very happily surprised as they look at that record. I think one of the uphill battles it was kind of get our message out as the Attorney General's office because of all the great things that all of the attorneys there were doing on behalf of everyday Alaskans. You know, as AG, I fought crime, I fought Biden, I fought for Alaska's economic future, I fought for our self-determination, right? That was the biggest in all my decisions that I made as the Attorney General. Alaska should decide for itself, not outside forces. And so I think developing that gas line, opening up Anwar and MPRA, getting the Ambler Road online, and many of the other energy products, mining projects, timber and seafood, I think, we need to hit the ground running. We have a great opportunity with this administration, and we need to capitalize on it. If anybody would like more information on how to support my campaign, you can go to treg4ak.com, and that will have.
Is that spelled F-O-R or treg with the number four?
It's F-O-R. Yep, TREGFORAK.com.
And all of your position papers are there. I did some cyber stalking yesterday just out of due diligence before having someone on.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, we'll be adding to the website. I think we're going to get up some of the stuff so people can access in a real concise way, you know, what I did as the Attorney General, so they could look at different elements of that, of like what I did to support parents' rights, like what I did to support economic development in Alaska and the oil and gas industry up here, you know, the Willow Project, those types of things. So we'll make it easy for people to just to see what we've done and where we're headed.
And you reached out to the radio station to come on the air today. You were just up in Fairbanks not too long ago at one of the chamber debates. I asked a few questions there. When are you coming back to Fairbanks? And is this website the same place people would reach out if they're hoping to have you come to an event?
Yeah, I think absolutely the website's the right place to go. Many of you out there that are listening probably have my cell number. I've been quite liberal with that. Obviously, the campaign, probably the easiest way to make sure that I get it in a timely fashion will be through that website. But I'm looking forward to coming back to Fairbanks. I've really enjoyed my discussions up there, whether it was talking about statehood defense or the Alaska gas line or the various things that are important to folks in Fairbanks in that area. And I look forward to engaging with you further.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to reach out. I think you're the first gubernatorial candidate to have reached out. For those that are listening, we will have Congressman Begich on the Problem Corner Hour next Wednesday when I'm guest hosting. But today we had Treg Taylor, our immediate past Attorney General for the state of Alaska under the Dunleavy administration, running for governor. And his platform can be found at Treg, TREGGFOR, AK.com. Thank you so much, Treg.
Yep, thank you. Just one G.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.